This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The Warriors are done. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck and Pier 17. Shout out to 101 ESPN where Smalls is today in the Lou. Yeah, I said it in the Lou in St. Louis today. I said that.
I'll allow it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. We do have it out there. Somehow Smalls believes that you're supposed to spray fragrance on the back of your knees and not walk into it, which we are just flabbergasted by. But I guess other people know that as well. And CeCe and I are kind of in the outside of that conversation somehow.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the move for me, Smalls. And I can appreciate what you're saying. I feel like that would be too much for a man of my stature.
What about in the crook of your elbows, as the other Michelle who called in the show suggested? Because you got to hit those heat zones, CeCe.
I think the wrist is enough. A little bit on the wrist, maybe a little bit on the neck, but that's as far as I'm willing to go. I'm really just a spray in front of me and walk into it, and just let the fragrance lay on me. I just want it to lay on me, Smalls.
Droplets on you?
Yeah, exactly. I don't want it to be too aggressive and just putting it all over the place.
I agree. Golden State eliminated last night. They lose to Sacramento 118-94. Give the Kings credit. Keegan Murray dropped 32 points for them in the win. De'Aaron Fox with 24. Story of this game now becomes the story of the last decade in the NBA and maybe the next decade in the NBA as to the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson, a pending free agent, scores no points, 0 of 10 from the field, 0 of 6 from behind the arc. And the question now becomes, is this potentially the end of the Warriors dynasty? You know, we thought it a couple of years ago. They then won a championship and kind of revived it a little bit. Then the last couple of years obviously haven't been as great. I still believe in the back of my mind that they're going to bring everybody back, but it is certainly logical to say this was it last night.
I don't know if it's the end of the dynasty, but it's the end of the big three as we know it. I don't think it's Klay, Steph, and Dre moving forward. Because if it's about loyalty to a player, it should be to Steph Curry, the guy that you're going to put a statue of once his career is over out in front of this Chase Center. Like, that's who you need to be loyal to. And in the twilight of his career, the responsibility for Steve Kerr and Mike Dunleavy is to put him in positions where he can contend in a Western Conference that is hyper-competitive. Remember, this is the first year that we've seen a conference have 10 teams finish the season 10-plus games over 500. Think about that.
And Wemby's coming.
And Wemby is coming.
So you got another team in the mix.
Exactly. So it is going to be hyper-competitive, and you've got to figure out a way to retool this team around Steph. And I think it's obvious that Klay Thompson, whatever he's going to command on the open marketplace, it's probably going to be a little too rich for you, given where your team is at, given how much over the luxury tax you already are.
But is it Klay that has to go? And I know that the numbers indicate that it is Klay because, as you said, CeCe, he can probably command more elsewhere. But if I am Steph Curry and I'm examining this situation and thinking about what I can rely on and I want this team to look like moving forward, even though Draymond is so instrumental in the four championships that the Warriors have won with this core together, and he is the straw that stirs the drink and unlocks this team in so many ways, he also has negatively impacted this team with his behavior. He has not been available for them for stretches of time because of things that he has done on the court. We saw Steph Curry very visibly upset the last time we saw Draymond ejected from the game. He was very demonstrative in his displeasure with Draymond's actions. And even though it does seem on the surface like if someone is to be removed from the equation, it's Klay Thompson, I'm kind of wondering if Draymond isn't part of the conversation.
All right, so let's go there, Smalls. If you could keep one of the two, like let's say the Warriors had an edict from Joe Lacob, the majority governor of the team, you can only keep one of the two. Now, let me explain to the masses here what that means. If you keep Klay, that means you're signing him to a brand new contract over the course of multiple years. If you keep Draymond, that means you're just letting Klay walk altogether and getting most likely nothing in return. If you're keeping Klay, you're getting the new contract, and you would have the opportunity to then trade Draymond somewhere else, get something in return. But style of play would have to change because Draymond is the one that unlocks the style of play for Steph. So what would you do, Smalls, in that spot if you can only keep one?
I know it sounds a little bold. I think I would lean towards keeping Klay and trying to get something from Draymond because I keep thinking about the fact that we're looking at the playoffs right now and there's going to be teams who shouldn't have early exits that are going to, and they're going to be desperate and they're going to want to shake things up and they're going to want to acquire another player. And I just think about what Draymond could command. And after what we saw from him this season, do we really think there's not going to be another incident where he gets in trouble somehow and he's not available for the Warriors? More likely than not, that's going to happen again. And we're going to have the same conversation then that we had this season and that we've had seasons before. But this time we're going to be having that conversation without Klay Thompson as part of the Golden State Warriors if they elect to keep Draymond. I think that as difficult as it would be to move on from a player that has done so much for the organization and that is so important into the way that this team plays, I think I would lean towards moving on from Draymond rather than Klay Thompson.
Smalls, you're not wrong in saying that Draymond cost this team this year with the multiple suspensions and being unavailable because we saw that the Western Conference was decided by the thinnest of margins. Mm-hmm. The only retort I have to what you just said is that Draymond, under this current contract, is making $25 million a year. You'd be hard-pressed to find a veteran that can step in for that price point and contribute in the way that Draymond contributes to this team's success when he is on the court. And conversely, when you look at Klay Thompson, can you really justify the price tag knowing that this guy on his best night is probably going to be the third best option for your team? Like, that's what you're talking about. Like, consistently, he is the third best option for your team. Can you justify paying him $30-plus million a year? I just don't know that you can. And so if that's going to be the case, you'd be better served trying to flip him, allowing Jonathan Kuminga to grow into that role as the third option on that team, and then retooling around Dre and Steph and adding pieces in the fringes where you can. I think that's the best way for the Warriors to go about it. I think Klay Thompson is a luxury that they just can't afford. I get that they want to be loyal to a guy that's helped them win a hell of a lot of games, but you have to think about where your loyalties lie. And for me, it's with Steph Curry over Klay Thompson. I know those two have been inextricably linked because they're the Splash Brothers and they're the ones that got this thing kicked off. But I think you have to be forward thinking with this and understand that there is never a good time to move on from a core player like Klay Thompson that's been so instrumental to you winning multiple titles.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't move on from him. What I would try, if possible, now it would have to be on my price, obviously, right? So if it were me and I was running the Warriors, what I would try to do would be to get Klay to come back on a lesser deal.
3 years, $60 million?
Yeah, or 2 for $40. Or maybe I'd go up all the way to 50 for 2 years, right? I'd give him the same contract as Draymond in terms of the amount of money. And then I would have to look to trade Wiggins. And the interesting one is going to be Chris Paul. So there's two ways of looking at this. They pick up the Chris Paul option at $30 million. That gives them $30 million to trade for something in return. The other option is don't pick up the option and just don't have that salary slot and don't pay the insane luxury tax for a non-title team and just really lean into the young players that they have on their team, which they do have good young players. How good becomes the question. You said something, CeCe, I need to follow up on. You said your loyalty is to Steph Curry. Define loyalty to Steph Curry. Is it to do what he wants or give him the best chance of winning?
No, give him the best chance of winning.
He may not look at that as loyalty, though.
Well, you can say that, but if you're trying to be aggressive about putting pieces around him when he's in the twilight of his career, remember, Steph Curry is in his latter 30s. So if you're trying to focus on putting the pieces around him so that he can go on a deep playoff run, what helps you get closer to that? Is it keeping Klay Thompson, or is it trying to be aggressive and going out there and making moves? Is it a potential signing trade, including Klay, to bring back something, a salary that another team might not want, but a player that's a little bit younger, a little bit more athletic, right? You mentioned Zach LaVine being a name floating out there.
Because like, they'll trade him for anybody.
Yeah, they'll trade him for anybody just because the Bulls don't want Zach LaVine's contract.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But if you're the Warriors, you're already in the luxury tax. Why not bring over a guy like that? Like, that is showing a commitment level to Steph Curry by trying to be aggressive, bringing over a piece that could potentially help you. Like, they don't have a lot of flexibility in terms of being able to retool this thing because of the contracts with Draymond Green and Andrew Wiggins. Like, they don't have a lot of room to move. So you're going to have to be creative in how you do things. And I just don't think that locking into two or three more years of Klay Thompson puts you closer to the team that you have to be in order to get out of the Western Conference and back to the NBA Finals.
It's really interesting. Like, if you think about Steph Curry's peers in all sports, right? In basketball, it's LeBron James, obviously. LeBron James has won titles through multiple maturations of rosters with multiple teams.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill teams, no Tyreek Hill teams. Like, mm-hmm. Different arcs of a career. Kobe Bryant, may he rest in peace, one with Shaq, one with Powell. Steph hasn't had that second arc of a roster. He won another time against the Celtics without Kevin Durant, but it really the core, even Duncan. Duncan won with Robinson before Manu and Parker.
Yeah.
Now, I know people are going to say, well, no, the second arc is with and without Durant. I get that, but it's the same group. He won before Durant with Klay and Draymond. He won after Durant with Klay and Draymond. It hasn't been Steph and an entirely new roster. That's where the whole dynasty thing is interesting, because you're saying the dynasty may not be over, but the group may be over. He hasn't had that next arc. Maybe this is when he has that next arc of his career, and they're going to say to him, you can do this. You can do this without these two guys, and we're going to move on from these two guys.
Yeah, I mean, listen, sometimes the worst thing you can get in life is exactly what you want, and that's where we're at with Steph Curry. Like, he may want Draymond and Klay Thompson to be around him until his career is over in Golden State, but that's not going to allow him to get closer to a championship. Like, they're maxed out based on where they're at in their respective careers. Like, they have to do something different, and that something different we thought was this next wave of Warriors players
coming up. The two-timeline thing.
Exactly, the two-timeline thing. Like, it was supposed to be Jonathan Kuminga, and it was Jordan Poole was a part of that once upon a time. Moses Moody.
Wiseman.
Remember James Wiseman. Oof. That they took with a top two pick. Like, that hasn't come to fruition. Now, Kuminga has turned into a fine player, especially yes. In the second half of this season, but he's still relatively young. You need to bring in a younger veteran player that fits the timeline for where Steph Curry and Draymond Green are at in their careers. Now, hindsight is 20/20. Going back at it, I'm sure Mike Dunleavy would like to have that Draymond Green decision back, because, again, that's one of those moves that limited the flexibility that you have moving forward. Not that Draymond isn't a good player, but Draymond's availability and his ability to regulate his emotions has become a liability for this team. I just think that if you had that flexibility with Dre and Klay both being respective free agents this summer, then that gives you a little more more opportunities to be creative in terms of the team that you put around Steph moving forward.
All right, Brian Windhorst, Hoop Collective Pod, ESPN NBA Insider, is going to join us next. We'll talk about potentially the end of this Warriors run. The Lakers get a huge win. What's next injury-wise for Zion and Giannis? We'll get to that next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
The NBA playoffs are on ESPN Radio. Tune in to Play in Action tonight. Bulls and the Hawks presented by Indeed. Coverage begins 9 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. and on SiriusXM Channel 80. Smalls in St. Louis at 101 ESPN today. Shout out to them for hosting her. CeCe and I, Evan Cohen, in studio, and we are joined by the great Brian Windhorst, Hoop Collective Podcast, ESPN NBA reporter and insider. All right, Wendy, what are the Warriors going to do?
They're going to re-sign Klay Thompson, and I think the fascinating thing is, because Joe Lacob, their owner, has come on the record and said he wants to get out of that luxury tax. The only way to do that is to let Chris Paul go. He's got a $31 million team. It's a non-guaranteed year. It's not a team option. If they wanted to really upgrade the roster, they could hold on to that contract and try to trade it. But if you're going to get under the tax, the only way is to let him go. So they're going to probably get Clay to take a $20-ish million pay cut, let Chris Paul go. That saves $50 million. You lean in. Then you can potentially sign a couple of small free agents. You lean into your four young players that you've got. They've got four guys in their early 20s who are, you know, key rotation players, and you bring it back. Like, do I think they're going to emerge with a team that's going to be favored to win? No. But they were better this year than they were last year, and that in terms of record, and that is with Draymond completely undercutting them for 20 games.
I get that they want to show loyalty to Klay Thompson for what he's meant to the dynasty and winning four championships, but is there a case to be made that moving off of Klay Thompson and using that, you know, chip in order to bring back other players that can improve in the fringes can move them closer to a championship?
No. Because Klay Thompson, Grayson Allen signed 2 days ago with the Sacramento, with the Phoenix Suns. He extended his contract for $17.5 million a year. That Grayson Allen does, he averages like 13 points a game. Great three-point shooter. Shot 46% this year, so he's higher percentage than Clay. That's an $18 million player in this market. Clay averaged 18 points a game this year. Shot 39%. Okay, that's not all-star numbers. 39% on 9 threes a game. That's good.
Yeah.
Led the league in free throw shooting. Is not the defender he was in his prime, but isn't awful. That type of player, if I just went up with those blind stats up there, that's a $20+ million player. So, you know, they'll haggle a little bit over the money. He may want a little bit more than that, but they can probably get him to go from $43 million down to $20-ish million. They can release Chris Paul, and you got $50 million in savings. And I want to be clear about, it's not just that the Warriors ownership wants to save money. Under the new rules, when your contracts are too high, it hamstrings your ability to build a team. It takes away trade options. It takes away contract signing options. So part of why they want to get down would be to give themselves other options. But like, no, they're not trading for a Hall of Famer, in my view, this offseason.
Is there a better deal for Klay Thompson, or will there be a better deal for Klay Thompson in free agency than what the Warriors can offer?
Maybe like a team like Detroit or Philly could maybe offer him a couple more million a year.
Yeah.
But are you going to walk? Are you going to play hardball? Like, I know that it's a very compelling question to ask today. Is it over with Klay? Because he was terrible last night. He still had a very good year. He did not have an all-star year. He is not playing in his Hall of Fame prime like he was. Okay, still a good player. It's okay that the Warriors don't win the title every single year. I know that we expect you're deemed like you stink. If you don't win the title every year, you stink. They've only won four, guys. Oh, they've only won four. I'm sorry. They're not going to win it every year.
Brian, I know we focused on Klay's future, but I want to go back to what you said about Draymond and his behavior on the court, limiting his availability at times for his team. Do you think the Warriors are at all considering a future that does not include Draymond Green?
Nope. They love him like a brother. They love him, they love him, they love him. And you could argue that he really undercut their last two seasons.
Yeah, he cost them.
You know?
Yeah.
And so this year, I think they were 33-22 in the games where he played. And they were 11-12 or something, or 10-11 in those 21 games where he was either suspended or coming back from suspension. So the reason they were the 10 seed was because of those 21 games.
Yeah.
If he had played in those games, they would have not been the 10 seed. And so, again, I say to you, did the Warriors have a better year this year or last year? you know, on the face of it, you would say, oh, my God, last year, of course. I mean, last year they got the second round of the playoffs, you know, lost to the Lakers. Well, they actually won more games this year than they did last year. And last year they played the Kings, and they lost the first playoff game to the Kings last year. But last year was a seven-game series because they'd earned their way into the playoffs, and so they had seven games to win it out. This year, they had a bad night last night. The Kings played great. Keegan Murray had eight threes. You know, they had a great Harrison Barnes was awesome. They played a great game. But they put themselves in position to be a one-and-done situation because of what happened with Draymond. So, you know, that's what happens. I honestly don't think their situation is that much different from where they were a year ago.
Yeah, I guess the question is, though, the West is a lot different than where we were a year ago. I mean, just think about it. This is the first year we've had 10 teams in a conference finish with 10 wins over 500 or more. And then you've got teams like Houston that are on the come, San Antonio with Wemby. I mean, the Memphis Grizzlies with Ja Morant gets back. Yeah. Like I just don't know how the Golden State Warriors get closer than they are right now to a championship. And right now, they're on the outside looking into the playoffs.
Probably don't. They might only win four. We might have to go into the future with our lives thinking that this Warriors group only won four titles. It may just be watching Steph Curry be great for 6 months, and they may only win 47 or 48 games.
But Steph Curry is still one of the best players in the entire
league. You know who else is good? Nikola Jokic, Luka Doncic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They're trying to win too. You know, is it a tragedy? Will it be a tragedy if Luka doesn't win this year? Because, oh my God, he's such a great player. Like, what a failure. What a tragedy they don't win. One team wins. The other 29 aren't failures. One team will win. Like the Warriors will lace it up and try again. And if they don't win, okay, they try it again. Like, why is it like you are the greatest in the history of all time or an absolute trash? Like, I don't understand why this is the way it's going to be for the next 2 months. All these teams are going to get knocked out. It's like failure season, failure. They all stink. Okay, well.
Wendy, it's not trash, though. They're not in the playoffs. Like, that's the difference. Like, there is a middle ground there, right? They're not in the playoffs.
Okay, I know. And again, in a world where nuance is completely obliterated, that's a failure. Were the Warriors better this season or last season? What year were they better this year or last year?
They were in the playoffs last year, so I'm going to say last year.
Okay. What if I told you they won more games this year than they did last year?
Yeah, that's great. But you've got to get into the playoffs, and what other people are doing around you matters.
Right, because there's nuance, right? Yeah. There's nuance involved. Last year, they won fewer games. They played Sacramento in the first game, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
But because the situation was a little bit different, they got to keep playing. This year, they actually were a better team. They played better basketball this year than they did last year. But because of the situation and Draymond and everything, when they lost their first playoff game, they were out. Okay, so was last year a failure or was this year a failure? I'm here to tell you they played better basketball this year. They went 27-12 down the stretch after Draymond came back.
Mm-hmm.
Are they awful?
They're not awful. They're just not in the playoffs.
I know, because it's hard.
Wendy, we have about a minute here. Give us an update, Giannis and Zion health here.
Well, the Giannis situation with Woj's report yesterday was very upsetting because the game isn't until Sunday, right? And they're saw on Tuesday morning, we have the information Giannis isn't going to start. That's troubling. That means that they know 4 days away he's still not going to be ready.
Right.
And the real question is, can he play in the series at all? Does he miss two games? Can they split those first two games? They get those first two games at home. Can they split those if Giannis doesn't play? You know, that's a real challenge. I mean, that the Giannis injury situation is now arguably the biggest storyline in the whole playoffs.
Wait, so before you get to Zion, is it a fair question to ask, has he played his last game for the Milwaukee Bucks?
I think if the Bucks get eliminated, you just want to hear where Giannis is. Because I know people jumped right to Dame. Like, oh, what about Dame? Well, before you get to Dame, just check on where Giannis is if they lose in the first round back-to-back years. And Zion was a basketball tragedy because he was playing the best game of his life in the biggest moment, and he gets hurt. It's a basketball tragedy.
Can he play, you think, against the Kings?
Well, they're going to have an MRI today to see how bad it is, but like, if it's any sort of muscle injury, typically you don't just spring right back from those.
Brian Windhorst, Hoop Collective Pod, ESPN NBA Insider Reporter, will be on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern, First Take as well. Phenomenal, as always. Thank you, Wendy. Lou Riddick will join us, talk some NFL next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
NFL Draft, a week and a day away. We are Unsportsmanlike. We're going to be there in Detroit. Louis Riddick is here, ESPN NFL analyst. Smalls at 101 ESPN. Shout out to them for housing Smalls today. And a story has just dropped on ESPN.com. To be fair, none of us have read it. It literally dropped moments ago. But I do want to promote it. Voted off the island inside Bill Belichick's failed job hunt. Don Van Atta, Seth Wickersham, Jeremy Fowler wrote it. So I'm going to ask a big picture question on this since none of us have read this yet, Lou. Yeah. Can you explain weeks later, months later, why Bill Belichick doesn't have a job in the NFL?
Look, I'm paraphrasing. Albert Breer put a tweet out. I don't know how recent it was, but I saw it. And essentially it said, this is, you know, not a good look on the part of NFL ownership that this guy who wants to work, who is going around right now, you know, he has spent time out there with Jed Fish at Washington. He was at Nebraska with Matt Rhule, basically conducting what essentially I would imagine amounts to like a free football clinic for these guys. And Matt Rhule is talking about the fact that Bill Belichick, like he was embarrassed about the fact that this guy knows so much that they were all sitting there like, can you believe this? We're actually being taught by this man, you know, in the springtime, downloading all of his knowledge, but he wasn't good enough to get an NFL head coaching job. Now, I know a lot of people will throw out the whole culture issue and how things were in New England. The Patriot way was Tom Brady and it wasn't Bill, and that, you know, Bill was hard to work with, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, all those different things. But as someone who played for him, and I can also attest to the fact that it wasn't always easy, his knowledge is so far above and beyond the game compared to so many others that really, right now, where I would turn my attention to are the people who are doing the hiring and what kind of questions are actually being asked of a guy like this. Or are you intimidated by the fact that you know you don't know anything that he hasn't already seen? So then it just becomes, well, do I really just want to be around him? Does he really have the personality that I really want to be around? Is he someone who, to me, makes me feel good about owning my football team? Because otherwise, this cannot be a competency issue. It's not. We all know that. And I think right now it's just interesting that all these stories that just keep coming out about him, whether it be good or bad, but essentially what it is it's just shock that he's not involved in the NFL right now. And as we were just saying before we came on here, it's weird to me the fact that Nick Saban isn't associated with college football. For whatever reason you believe, he walked away and Bill isn't associated with the NFL. That is sad to me because these guys are titans. They're pillars. They're people who changed the game. Bill was changing the game along with Nick back in Cleveland back in the 90s. They were doing stuff back then that we talk about now as if it's new. It ain't new. It was being done 30 years ago. We just didn't have the internet and social media and every other, you know, X and O genius talking about the fact that, oh, match quarters and, you know, cover four or something that's just so revolutionary. No, it's not. They were doing this back in the 90s. These guys are trendsetters. I hate the fact that they're not involved. I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, a quarter of the league outside of the Patriots firing Bill turned over and yeah. He didn't have a job. And then yeah. You could point to a handful of other jobs where – Bill Belichick represents a clear and obvious upgrade. Mm-hmm. One of those places was the Dallas Cowboys after another failed postseason, coming up short, getting smoked at home against the Green Bay Packers. Now, they said they're going all in this offseason, yet they haven't really made a whole lot of moves to suggest that. You've got CeeDee Lamb and Michael Parsons not showing up for offseason workouts. The Dak Prescott contract negotiation saga. How concerned should people in Dallas be about the state of the Cowboys and what kind of team they're going to have this upcoming year?
Yeah, look, as far as the all-in comment, I understand what Jerry and Steven mean when they say, look, we're all in on the people that we feel are great players and we're going to compensate them as such. And look, every team ideally wants to be able to draft somebody and then when their contracts come up, retain them and pay them at market, above market, because that means that you pick the right guy. So look, CD deserves his, Dak deserves his, Micah, I get it. And I do understand why they're kind of like playing around with the words here a little bit about being all in on those guys. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, that's cool. But the fact is your team as presently constructed, let's just say at the end of last year, wasn't good enough. Okay, and you're saying when you say all in, you know that everyone else means is kind of interpreting that as meaning you're doing whatever it takes to get over the hump. Not to just get there, but to get over it. And right now, Chris, they're worse this year than they were last year.
Agreed.
They're worse. They have one true starter on the offensive line, and they don't have really a running game. There is no – look, quite honestly, I think as they sit right now, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. They're not going to win the division. They ain't going to come close to winning the division as the roster presently is constructed.
Yeah.
Because the team that knocked them out, Green Bay's gotten better. They've gotten better. Chicago's gotten better. Detroit's going to be better. The Giants, if they get the quarterback situation right, is going to be better.
Washington.
Minnesota's going to be better. They all are.
Yeah.
Dallas could be in trouble. There's still time. But now what has happened is their margin for error is like slim and none. They better nail the draft and they better knock it out the park. And these guys better contribute a la like 2 years ago when the Chiefs had all the young cats in the secondary, when they beat Philly in the Super Bowl, when Brett Veach should have been GM of the year. Jerry better be GM of the year this year in the draft. Simple as that.
Lewis, speaking of nailing the draft, I want to go back to the Patriots. Not the Bill Belichick version, but the new Gerard Mayo regime.
Yeah.
The Patriots are so intriguing to me. They're sitting there at number three. They need a quarterback. They have a lot of options that they could select with that number three spot, but there are also a lot of quarterback needy teams that will likely offer them a ton of draft capital to jump up and take that number three slot. So what do you think the Patriots should do at number three? Should they stay put, draft a quarterback, or you think they should trade out of that pick?
I don't think you should ever pass up on who you believe to be, you know, whoever you believe to be who could possibly be a franchise quarterback. So, look, whether or not we believe Drake May is someone who is deserving of being the number three overall pick, if they believe it, if Elliot Wolf believes that, if Gerard Mayo believes that, if the Kraft family believes it, then take him. Take him. You cannot just say, well, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to nicely build up everything around him, assemble all this talent, and then we'll just pick the quarterback when we're good and ready. First of all, you don't know if you're going to be in position to pick one. And number two, you don't know if somebody's going to come along that's better than the current crop of quarterbacks anyway. If you believe Drake May, whether that is this year sitting behind Jacoby Brissett or him playing this year, is the guy for the future, then you take him now. And you figure out the rest because we know that these guys are hard to come by. We know that you can't pass up on chances, especially when you think there may be even an inkling of a chance that this guy could be a franchise guy. And then you just kind of roll with it. So I think for them, one, it's about their conviction, and two, it's about whatever package that they're offered. If it's one of those that you can't refuse, then of course you assess that. And then you assess where it is that you're moving down in the draft and whether or not you can maybe do something at that position later.
Yes.
There's a number of different scenarios for that.
And that's exactly where I was going, Lewis, because I was curious to know, a lot of this is going to be framed by the Patriots by their evaluation of the entire quarterback draft class. How close are J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. to the three elite quarterback prospects in this class?
Well, I would go so far as to say this. I would ask this question, Chris. Like, how close is J.J. McCarthy in particular, since he seems to be the guy who a lot of people are really split on, how close is he to Drake May? Okay?
Yeah.
Because right now, the only thing really that people can really point to right now to say, well, Drake May is a better prospect than J.J. McCarthy is because they think that he has that big Josh Allen howitzer and he's just a much better athlete and just has much more upside than J.J. McCarthy. Look, it could be Bill Walsh. It could be Andy Reid. It could be Mike Holmgren. They all will tell you, stop getting so hung up on the arm, you know, on the horsepower of a guy's arm when it comes to quarterback playing the NFL. And let's think about this entire thing from an A to Z perspective and start with leadership, decision-making, accuracy. And J.J. McCarthy has all that. So the question for me is, not is it the big three and then J.J., Michael, Bo, and everyone else. It's, to me, it's really the big two, and then where do things fall? Mm. Is J.J. number three? Because you can make a case for it. I don't care what you say about he just doesn't look like the guy. Michigan didn't build their offense around him. They didn't have to. And then when they did ask him to, he came through every time. I can pull out 10 throws just like you can pull out 10 throws of Drake May and make him look like Josh Allen. I can pull out 10 plays with J.J. McCarthy and make him look like a guy who looks like a top upper echelon Jared Goff, who was really a couple throws away from winning a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And really a team meltdown away from getting back to a Super Bowl with Detroit this year. So look, big two, and then kind of let the chips fall where they may.
Final thing here with Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL analyst. You just gave an amazing breakdown of why you think J.J. may be close to Drake.
Mm-hmm.
How close is Jaden Daniels to Caleb Williams in your mind?
I think, well, I've said this numerous times. It's kind of like last year. Look, I thought C.J. Stroud, if I was picking, I would have taken him over Bryce. We went back and forth on that last year. Everyone got enamored with the out-of-structure ability of Bryce Young, which is obviously something everyone in the NFL wants. Yesterday I said, look, Caleb can do certain things as far as throwing the football from different platforms that look very, very similar to what 15 does from Kansas City.
No doubt.
And we all know who that is in Patrick Mahomes. Jaden Daniels has repeatable throwing mechanics that look the same every time from the pocket. It's beautiful. It's textbook. And he can throw out of structure, and he can throw off platform, and he can rip you for 90 yards running the football. And he's a guy who's a great leader, and he's a guy who earned the respect of everyone at LSU, and he's someone that every coach who has interviewed him has told me he's brilliant. I'm taking him number one. That's who I would pick. If I was Chicago, I'd take him first.
Can I ask a crazy follow-up on this? I know I said last thing. Would you then, if you're Washington, take Caleb? Or are you not sold?
Oh, yeah,
up?
I would.
Okay, I just want to
And that doesn't mean that I don't like Caleb.
You're not knocking him.
And see, and yeah. I know that's the way the world works now.
No,
if you like, well, no, I'm saying not for you. I'm saying in general. As soon as you like one person, oh, you must hate my guy. No, I don't hate your guy. It's kind of, to me, it's like one, and then it's like one little A. Like, I mean, these guys are like right next to each other. And if I was Washington, and Cliff Kingsbury is there, and Cliff said, look, I had him at SC. Of course we take him. That card be turned in so fast, it'd make your head spin.
So
and he's from that area too?
There's two number one overall picks for you.
Exactly. But if I had to pick, look, I got the same feeling last year being around C.J. Stroud that I get around being around Jaden Daniels. That's why I'd pick him.
Is one of the two a better fit for the Chicago Bears? I guess
is it
independent of fit?
I don't really know because I don't really know what this iteration of Shane Waldron's offense will be. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, I'm sure he'll mold it a little bit to what these guys individually do and what their individual skill sets call for. I don't know. I think for, when you say fit, Chris, you know how this goes. I think which guy is the better fit for what the culture is up there and what they're looking for and what the city's looking for. So we'll see.
Okay.
Lou, amazing job. You'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern. Coming up, I'm over at Unsportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, each and every day at this time, our very own Pat Costello gives us items in and around sports, his life, entertainment, that he is over. Pat, go ahead.
You know what? I'm going to turn this over to you guys first, because Michelle, you had a pretty good one that I want you to explain.
Yes, I thought of Pat yesterday because I flew into St. Louis after the show yesterday, and after the plane, you know, you're on the plane, all that stale air that's in there. I wanted to wash my hands. So I go into the restroom, and there's not a lot of people in the St. Louis airport at this time. I'm washing my hands. There's a woman in a stall behind me having a full-blown conversation with someone who she had on speakerphone. That's right. She's in a stall having a conversation with someone, and they're on speakerphone. And by the way, I was totally eavesdropping, and she was talking about how she's trying to get her music on Spotify and get money from it to invest in a house because that's how she wants to grow her wealth. And I wanted to be like, what's the name of the music? I'm going to download it, and I want to leave a review that I heard about as you were having a conversation in a public bathroom.
I got to ask a question, and this is for Pat. Somebody that is clearly on and kind of morally and honestly scheming and scamming to make more money. Is this woman sight unseen your dream girl?
No, but if she wants to, you know, throw the sponsor this way, then we'll put her right up here on the wall.
Wow. Love is Blind, St. Louis Airport Edition.
Bathroom. St. Louis Airport Bathroom Edition.
It's going to be a hard pass for me.
Does she look like Megan Fox or no?
I couldn't see. She was in the stall.
Just throwing that out there.
Let me tell you what she don't look like. I'm just saying. Here's the thing, though. I don't understand why people insist on having conversations in public on speakerphone.
Yes, but I have a question. I have a question
just
I shouldn't ask.
Hold the phone up to your ear. You're still holding the phone.
I got
to
ask
if you're
though.
On speakerphone. So just put the phone up to your ear. Even if you don't have an earpiece, you can still have a conversation, but just put it up to your ear. You're holding the phone anyway. Why does it have to be on speakerphone
well, you may need
for
your
everybody
hands.
Else to hear it? How are you going to... But then how are you going to talk on speakerphone?
You put the phone on top of the toilet paper.
Maybe
holder.
Just wait till you're out of the bathroom.
Correct.
I don't know.
Wait, and so you don't use the phone in the bathroom? Let's be honest.
No.
No,
at home. At home.
No.
No, neither do I. I was just asking you guys.
Yeah, sure.
I was just finding out if, you know, next one, Pat.
No, next one,
no,
Evan.
Never.
Next one, Evan. Why are you so mad about this Bill Belichick story that just came out?
I haven't even read it yet. I'm mad because, I mean, Lou Riddick just brought it up as well, Pat. I mean, the idea that Bill Belichick is unemployed, not in a voluntary way like Nick Saban, is utterly absurd. And from some of the details Nuno has given us, CeCe, I think you read this part of this part. I did not. Basically, the Eagles are like, hey, we would hire him, but we'd have to change too many things.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to pair Jalen Hurts and Bill Belichick? Jalen Hurts is made for Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick is made for Jalen Hurts. No, we have to change too many pieces. What are you, crazy? That's why. And you're an Eagles fan. You're not going to be annoyed when you read through this and you find out the Eagles potentially could have had him?
I said when it was happening that I wanted Bill Belichick and not Nick Sirianni, so I'm on your side.
Yeah, and to be fair to you, you've actually been very supportive of the absurdity around Belichick not having a job. Yes, CeCe, go ahead.
No, I'm just reading the article. It says, and I quote, the Eagles still felt like Belichick had his fastball, but Jeffrey Lurie wondered to a confidant, was it worth overhauling the building, changing personnel and philosophies on everything from training staff to salary cap structure for someone who might only coach 2 years?
And you may get two rings in those 2 years.
That's my whole point. That's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, what are we talking about?
That is ridiculous.
It's still absurd. I don't know when it was decided. Whenever the last job was filled up in the NFL and Belichick didn't have a job, however many months later, it is still mind-boggling to me that the single greatest coach in the history of this sport is unemployed.
I mean, can you...
He's 72, guys. I mean, he's 72.
He is 72, Smalls, but I can say without even going through it that he's better than half the coaches in the NFL.
Half? Way more. Do it this
way. Right now, today, he's better than...
How many coaches are actually better than him right now? Andy Reid and then who else?
No, not even better than him. Let's just say coaches that I wouldn't swap out for Belichick.
Oh, yeah, situationally.
That's a fair assessment.
Yeah, like Sean McVay makes sense for the Rams.
Yeah,
he's not better than Belichick.
He's not better
I understand
than Belichick.
That. Okay,
exactly.
I understand.
But you're talking...
D'Amico Ryan's not better, but he makes sense situationally.
Right. Yeah, you might be talking about 10 to 12
but
coaches.
Outside of Philly, who thought about it, the teams that needed head coach, how many of them were actually right now prepared to win within the next 2 years? Because that's a big part of it, that he's an older coach.
Well, the Atlanta Falcons.
Atlanta.
They just signed Kirk Cousins. They were clearly going all in this offseason.
And Raheem Morris should be a head coach in the NFL. He just shouldn't be the Falcons head coach if in comparison to Belichick. Raheem
right,
Morris
guys,
should be a head
hold
coach.
On. If Atlanta wins a Super Bowl in the next, makes a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, I'll jump into a cold tub.
No, we don't believe you at all on that.
No,
you've had too many opportunities. Pick something different. Pick something different. Next one.
I hate the MLB City Connect uniforms so much.
Oh,
every
so bad.
Time I see any of them, with except for like maybe two of them, I just get angry because they're putting jerseys on teams who have beautiful uniforms and they just look ridiculous. They look like JV softball uniforms or something. They're so awful looking. I don't know what they were thinking. Like, why did they do this? I hate the Phillies the most. I think the Phillies ones are horrendous looking, and the hat's kind of okay, but the jerseys are just atrocious. Why did they do this? What's the point besides money, I guess?
There's no besides. That's the point.
It's so stupid.
That's the point.
They're horrible.
Yeah, the Phillies City Connect jersey is pretty bad.
Oh, it was so brutal, the Phillies.
Why don't they use the colors of the teams? Like, why don't they use their regular colors? I don't understand. They don't use the regular color scheme, right?
Can I throw one out there that I did kind of like, though? I thought the Red Sox City Connect was pretty cool. The yellow.
But the Red Sox wearing yellow? Smalls?
Yeah, that don't make sense to me either.
No, it doesn't make sense. None of these make sense. And most of them don't look great. They're just trying to sell money or sell jerseys to make money. Excuse me. But if we had to say that one was okay, I thought that the Red Sox one was kind of cool.
What does yours look like? What do the Cardinals one look like? I don't know.
Let me
top
see.
My head.
Let me pull it up. I can't remember.
Like if the Redbirds one is not red, then we're going to have a major problem.
The White Sox City Connect jersey with Southside across of it actually makes sense.
Is it black and white?
It's black and white.
Okay, yeah.
It's black and white. It's black with white pinstripes.
They're not
if
good
the
looking.
Cardinals one is
but
not
it
red,
sense,
it should be illegal.
Yeah.
It's blue.
Oh, my God. It's literally the Redbirds. This is the most important National League team in all of baseball, in the history of the sport. There's the Cardinals in the National League and the Yankees in the American League. You can't have the Cardinals not red.
We have to find somebody, baseball team, that has a nice City Connect jersey. Like a City Connect jersey that actually
said,
makes
the
sense.
The White Sox.
The White Sox. That was
the Red
one.
Sox, too.
But the Red Sox are
it's
not
yellow.
Red. It's yellow.
The Padres like have a good one.
I don't know.
Maybe Belichick can run the baseball uniforms. That's his new job, making uniforms.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.